Today we want to look at this thought. Our God is good, and everything he does is good. And say amen. Amen. Say a big amen.
Amen.
You have to believe that. Our God, I said our God. Now some people have a God that seems to be worthless. He doesn't answer prayer, you know, and he's always causing problems for them and beating them up. But our God is the God of the Bible. And you'll see what he's like as we go along. Our God is good, and everything he does is good. It's time that people knew what kind of God we have and not believe the devil's version of him.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that the earth is full of God's goodness. Look around. It really is. Even though this world's under a curse because of man's sin, tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes, and all of these horrible things that are produced, it's not global warming. And it is man's sin that brought a curse on this thing. We live under a curse. We've always had bad weather. And some of the worst weather recorded is in the early 1900s. And so the problem is global sin. We want to blame everything on everything except the real cause. It is man's sin that has produced the horrible things in our lives. And in many cases, the bad things in our lives we caused ourselves. But God is good. I said all that just to say God is good. We cannot, like old Job, he was blaming everything on God. It turned out Satan was to blame just like he is right now. Amen. The Bible tells us that the earth is full of God's goodness. I've preached this series before, and I may do the whole series, I don't know, but never says the same old thing because it's not. I pray hours over these scriptures until I have a fresh new word from heaven, no matter if the title's the same or not. And I name a lot of them pretty close the same thing so I can find them. Searching in my computer as I pull them up. But the message is different. But a lady heard one of these messages on our good, God is good, and she called in just a few weeks ago and said, "That's the best message I ever heard in my life." And I said, "That lady is smart. She is sharp." Amen. So, and I had no intention to preach again anytime soon, but this week I was praying, and I felt like, Lord, I want you to preach that series again. And this time, do a good job. Okay. Andy, a better job. The Bible says that God is good and the earth, and he doeth good. Amen. Now, that's a shocker. I'm told, I believe that God is powerful and he can do anything he wants to do. And I believe he's basically good, but look at all the horrible things. My Bible says he does good. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I've been around for quite a while, and he's always done good.
Amen.
Concerning me. The Bible says that God is good and he doeth good. A lot of people look at all the evil people and the evil deeds and the in the world and say, God is evil. How could a loving God allow sickness and disease and violence and rape and murder and racism and terrorism and tornadoes and world wars? But the Word of God teaches that God's world and creation, they were perfect until man rebelled against his creator, and that's when the curses came upon us. That's why we have all these curses we have to live under and take authority over as born-again believers, is because of man's sin. There was no curses in the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect place, air conditioned and everything. Worms free. The apples didn't even have worms. Can you say praise the Lord yet? But boy, after the curse, that's when all this stuff started happening. Doesn't matter what people say, that's what the Word of God says, and it lines up with science, too. There's nothing in science that really contradicts the Word of God. Anybody tells you that, they've just been listening to the devil. I'm a scientist, too. I love science. Science proves God, not disapproves God. But some people want to get rid of God because they want to live like the devil, and I found out living like the devil is no fun, so I want to believe in God. How about you? I need him to help me stay out of trouble. You see, when man rebelled, he rebelled against God. He opened the door to the evil one. That would be Satan and his evil curses. And John 10:10, Jesus explains it. He says, the thief cometh, the devil cometh not. Doesn't say the devil, but he's the thief. And Peter said, he goes about as roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's the thief. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why so hard to understand about that? Satan is the thief. He's the one that's trying to rip you off and destroy you and wreck your life and get you into sin so he can destroy you, get you on drugs and alcohol so he can kill you. He is the thief. Jesus came that you might have life and that more abundantly, but you've got to believe this message and believe that he's here for your good and put your faith and trust in him if you're going to benefit from his coming.
Amen.
He didn't come to give you a hard time. You already had a hard time. He didn't come to make my life miserable. It was already that way. And he's rescued me out of it. The thief is the problem. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, when Satan speaks a lie, the devil speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you hear all these people lying and making up all these tales, their daddy is Satan. Satan speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. It is Satan who has deceived the whole world with his lies to believe that God is the problem. Well, this devil's clever. Got people hating God for the things that he's doing. And let me throw something else in here too. Matthew 12:35. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil. You see, evil comes from Satan and his evil, demonized children of disobedience. Evil also comes through evil people who are giving you a hard time, abusing you, making fun of you, trying to rape you, rob you, kill you. I mean, evil is coming directly and indirectly from Satan himself, but it does come through people, which is indirectly. It's a lot of evil. It's people. Hugh Hefner, I heard him not too long before he died talking about how he totally changed the morals of the United States of America and beyond and throughout the world, really, with his immoral, ungodly character and promoting total freedom almost, in sexual things, just anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it. And the guy right now is burning in hell. Amen. Unless he got saved last minute. Because he was deceived by the devil, so evil came through him. I mean, I go way back, and I remember when his first magazine, began to become popular, Playboy. Play the devil and go to hell's way. I see it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You habitually practice sin, practice things the Bible tells you not to do. You're going to be in trouble with God now and in the future. And people like that are of the devil, and they brainwash people into believing, oh, that's the good life. That is not the good life. I've been a preacher since almost from birth. And I'm telling you right now, I've watched people who live that kind of life, and they may look like they're having fun for a while, but, buddy, it turns on them, and it destroys them. That guy was wealthy and had a lot of fame, but at the same time, you could just tell he was miserable. Here is what Peter said about Jesus. I said all those things to give you a background to see how good Jesus is. Okay. Here is what Peter said about Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Where's all the bad stuff he puts on people to teach them something? Peter left all that out. You know why he left that? Because it's not true. Now, God will bring judgment on ungodly people. If not in this life, certainly in the next. You have to look like you had a good ride, but I wouldn't trade places with him. The Bible makes it very plain. If you practice these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you never know. God's a loving God. No. The Bible says if you practice these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, and tells you what they are. Practice means if you're doing them. And he died doing them with girls all over his bed, and he's too old to forget that. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and cleansed the leper. He fed the 4,000 to 5,000. He told Peter where the fish were when his boat was empty. He went about doing good. Jesus helped everyone and never, ever one time put anything bad on anyone. He came to show us what God was like, and that's what God is like. What Jesus did, what Jesus said, what Jesus taught, the way he lived, that is God. Yes, this life can be really rough and tough. It can be a war, a battle, but it's not God. Amen. As long as you're believing it's God, you cannot believe God to get you out of it. If you believe God put that sickness on you, how can you believe him to take it off of you? Isaiah 59:1 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. This says a lot of our problems is because our sin has separated us from God, and God can't help us because we won't repent and turn away from our sin. How can he help an alcoholic when he will not turn away from his alcohol? Let God help him get rid of it. How can a drug addict receive God's help when he refused to let God deliver him from the drugs? God can't even help us until we turn toward him and ask for his help. Amen. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So a lot of people learn living under a curse simply because they are living in rebellion to God. And I don't mean to be critical or talking down to anybody. It's just a miracle of God that God sent these ladies back up to the house on the farm and got me. I don't think they took me, but they signed me up, and I went to vacation Bible school, got saved, gave my life to Jesus Christ. And buddy, that changed everything. Had an uncle in prison. My daddy was tried for attempted murder. I was on my way to jail myself. So I can't talk down my long righteous nose to anyone, because except by the grace of God, there go I. But I'm telling you the truth, just the same. So no matter what you're facing, he's on your side. And yes, we're going to have problems in this life. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, to open the blinded eyes, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of restoration. I didn't mean to throw that in, but Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, which means he knows we're going to have a broken heart in this world. Because of the curse of sin, people die. If a man hadn't sinned, he would never died. Amen. And we're all going to have a broken heart at some point, if we hadn't already had. And if we already have, we probably again some kind of hurt. But God said, Jesus said, I came to heal it, not to make it worse. And I just said some things. We can cause things, but when you do cause something and you repent of it, God will treat you like you didn't do it. So don't let the devil tell you deserve all these bad things because you did bad things. No, if you come to Jesus Christ, you deserve what he has provided through his shed blood and his sacrifice on Calvary. That's what you deserve. Amen. Not because of you, but because of him. Amen. Often it is sin that causes God's hand of protection to lift off of us. And I'm not really addressing this to you or Christians because there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but you know if you're doing something God doesn't like. And the worst thing you can do is make a decision you're going to get rid of it. The best decision that you can make is you're going to pray through until God breaks it off of you and delivers you from it. Can you say? Say something. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loveth righteousness. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Look around. This is still a wonderful world. In spite of all the wickedness, in spite of sin and rebellion, we still live in a beautiful, exciting world. If you live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and live close to these mountains, and you cannot say that is something, you need to get out from under depression because something ain't right. Yay. I mean, this is a beautiful place. I went to Hawaii and couldn't wait to get till I got back here. I like right here better. Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Evil is powerful, but his love is more powerful, and he'll rescue you in everything you're into, even if you caused it. But you got to come to him and believe that he's a good God that wants to help you. He didn't come to make your life miserable. He came to make it better. I mean, I was headed for about as miserable as it could possibly be, and God just reached down and plucked me right out. Yay. If you haven't been plucked out yet, you can be. Never too late. If we serve the Lord with all our hearts, he will protect and care for us. Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You ever wonder who feeds the birds and the bears and the squirrels? God does. And if he can take care of them, he can take care of little old you. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. So don't ever accuse God of anything. He is righteous always and forever. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. You see, that includes us. He's loving toward us. He does not want to put bad things on us. The bad things are already coming. How many of you know that? Satan's going to be sure of that. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom you... Well, I had this terrible thing, and it really taught me something. Yes, the Bible says plainly that God redeems bad things and brings good out of it. God causes all things to work together for our good. He didn't send a bad thing, but he takes a bad thing and turns it to good. The way my daddy cussed me and treated me, I mean, it really had a negative effect on me, but when God got through with me, it turned out to be a good thing. Now I understand people better than I would have if I hadn't went through those things. So God took those bad things and turned it to good. I'm a better man of God and a better preacher because of those terrible things I went through.
Amen.
Therefore, I don't blame my daddy. I just blame the devil, and thank God he redeemed it and brought good out of it.
Amen.
The Lord is righteous. Is this making any sense to anybody? The Lord is righteous. I think now you see why that lady called in and said, this is a good message. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Don't tell me God's far away. You may be far away, but he's trying to get to you. He's knocking. He says, I'll stand at the door and knock. Not only is he wanting to hear from you, he's banging on the door wanting you to open the door. Me too. I don't think I'm talking down to you. Talking to myself. I need to remember these things. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of everything. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He didn't do any bad thing to anybody ever. Now, bringing judgment on bad people is not a bad thing. Because God, to protect us, God has to bring judgment on bad people that mistreat us. Why would God allow anyone to go to hell? Because they've hurt God's people and they won't repent, and so they're going to be punished.
Amen.
I know we live in a world, well, you can't punish anybody. Well, God disagrees with that.
Amen.
If you don't serve him, eventually you're going to pay the price. But right now, he is on your side and wants to help you. Amen. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He's as close as your cell phone. You just call Him. Amen. I'm just as close as your pastor's your cell phone. Just text me. I bet everybody here has my phone number. And when we didn't want to bother you, that really irritates me. What kind of pastor do you think I am that I don't want you to irritate me? If it's a need, it's not irritating. I mean, my phone lit up when Carol got so sick. And everybody's saying, pray, 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 pray. And I guarantee you, I didn't just ignore that, man. I started praying like crazy. Lord, heal her. Raise her up. I mean, in the end, she's in God's hands, but I'm going to be sure I didn't let down. But what if you pray and fast and seek God and they go to heaven anyway? Then you praise God for taking them to heaven. And believe God to heal the broken hearts. But at the same time, you know you did everything you could. Verse 18, the Lord, y'all going to have to pray or I'm not going to get halfway through this. I thought I was going to be real calm, cool, and collected, but when I walked up here, something hit me. Glory to God. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. When we call, He comes near. Verse 19, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him, who He hears their cry and saves them. Boy, memorize that one. I memorized that one years ago. Psalm 145, verse 19, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Do you really fear God? And that doesn't mean a fear of Him hitting you with a bolt of lightning. That means a healthy, reverent fear of disobeying Him. If you have that kind of fear, He'll fulfill the desires in your heart, because very often He'll put the desires for the thing He wants you to have in your heart, so you're desiring what He wants you to have. Amen. The Bible even says that He works in us to create His desires and His will in us. Yes. Now, if the desire is contrary to Scripture, it's not God. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. I quote that Scripture, and I believe that Scripture. He hears their cry and saves them. Don't tell me God is not hearing your prayer. He may not be answering the way you want Him to answer, but He hears your prayer. Amen. Verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love Him. God's watching over me. Don't mess with me. Amen. God's watching over you, and smart people won't mess with you. Amen. The Lord watches over all. Verse 20. Psalm 145, verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Amen. There's two sides to this coin. He's loving, but He's also a God of justice, which means if I hurt people, rebel, and if I'm living for the devil, I'm hurting people, because that's what the devil's doing. And then if I don't repent and turn to Him, then He's going to bring justice, eternal punishment, and even justice in this life. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you will one day. In the end, we're going to know this is true. We need to know now. The Lord watches over all who love Him. He fulfills their desires. He hears their cries. But the wicked who reject Him will eventually be destroyed. Be careful how you live, because God is, He's watching you to help you and to bless you, but He's also watching to see if you love Him and fear Him. Our God has proven Himself to be trustworthy. And I mean, who's a human to judge God anyway? Well, God is, He'd be evil to let anybody go to hell. Who are we to judge God? Our God has proven Himself to be trustworthy. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know Now, here's the deal. I believe God's got a scripture or two for everyone in here. And you probably don't need to memorize all of these for today. But when God, one of these scriptures grab you, write down the reference and go home and memorize it. And try to find it in this same translation if you can, because I felt like God told me to use these different translations for each of these verses. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You may want to memorize that one. I'm going to tell you there's a ton of great promises here. It's almost a small promise book, just this one sermon. And if I do the whole series, it'd be really good. As far as getting the promises. Never. Have never forsaken those who seek you. Now, the key word there is seek. Do you seek God or just run out and do anything that feels good? Or do you seek God and ask God, what do you want me to do today? Lead me and guide me and direct me. If you're seeking God, that makes a big difference. You see, we can trust the Lord because he has never forsaken those who seek him and seek his advice. The condition is seek him. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. I'm automatically blessed every day because I put my trust in him to lead me and guide me and bless me and direct me. And, of course, I can say that freely right now, but sometimes I have to really focus to be sure I really am trusting him. At Psalm 36, verse 5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Don't focus on the justice side right now. Focus on the love of God, how much he loves you and cares about you. If you love him and serve him, you don't have to worry about the justice side. Verse 7, how priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. How priceless is your unfailing love. You see, both the rich and the poor, both the powerful and the weak, find refuge in you. You see, he is priceless. Look at that again. Both high and low among men, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I don't care how successful you are, how popular you are, or what all the great things you've accomplished, there's going to be a time when you're going to need a hiding place, and he will be your hiding place no matter who you are or what you are. I mean, the devil comes after me. Man, I get in my prayer closet. That's my refuge. That's my hiding place. I pray through, and I get the victory, and I come out grinning because I know I've already won. Because he is my safe place. Have you come across at least one scripture so far that you could use as a sword? 1 Kings 8:59. I'll stand here on the edge of the platform. If there's a scripture you missed and you want to ask me what the reference says, for $5, I'll tell you. Some people take me serious. That was a joke. Wasn't very funny, but it was a joke. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all of his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Every promise in this book is still good for you if you'll truly seek him. And if you doubt that, that doubt is coming from Satan. He wants you to doubt it. Most of us today say we believe what I just read. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all. I mean, no, we're his people. Amen. Under the new covenant, we are his people just as real as the Jews. That don't mean we take their place in Israel, but you know what I mean. We belong to him. All that he promised, according to all that he promised, not one word has failed of all his good promise. Most of us today say we believe this, but our actions show otherwise. Do you really believe God's going to keep all of his promises? Yes. With his stripes, I'm healed. Yep. Now, of course, we're all going to go to heaven. We already know that. But until it's God's time for me to go to heaven, I plan on getting healed. How about you?
Amen.
It's worked pretty good now for nearly 100 years. We can trust his word. Not one word of any promise he has given has ever failed. He performs every promise to those who trust him. Like the Lord said to me through John Uchai, question, have I ever failed you? Have I ever let you down? No. I've let him down. I've caused myself some pretty big problems. But even then, he rescued me. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. That's my text for this message. I put it right, felt like God wanted me to put it right smack in the middle. This is the theme of everything I've said. Thou art good. I said it at the beginning, but I didn't read it. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. That's it. He is good to the core. And he wants you to answer his knocking at your door and let him come in, fellowship with you, and teach you a few things. What I preach is basically what I've allowed him to teach me from his word. I didn't learn these things from any other preacher. I'm too stubborn to listen to anybody else. Yay. God has to whack me over the head. We can trust his word. Not one word of all his promises, of his promise that he has given, has ever failed. Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You see, God is not only good, but he does good things. Where do people get the idea that God puts bad things on godly, saintly people? From the lying devil. That's where they get it. That he doesn't want you to serve God. He wants you to think God is your problem. He is your problem. Satan's your problem. Jesus went about doing good, and he was doing the will of the Father. He is still doing good for those who love him, seek him, and trust him. You see, this is clearly the will of the Father to do good for his kids. If it wasn't God's will, then Jesus Christ was out of the will of his Father to go around and do good and heal and restore sick people. Our God supplies us with all good things. Psalm 103, verse 2, listen fast. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. That is on you to remember his benefits. That's on me to remember his benefits. We have some responsibility here, and that is pretty simple. Okay. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's a big one right there. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, that means you get to go to heaven.
Amen.
If that one's true, you get to go to heaven. If the next one's true, you get to get healed.
Yeah.
Until it's his time for you to go to heaven. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I look back over my life, the way I was raised on that farm, the many times I was almost killed. And from there to now, I look back and I say, oh my Lord, the Lord has redeemed me from one destruction after another my whole life. Just last week, we went to Shakertown. They got those big old buildings, and one of their famous things is those circular staircases. And I counted them. They're 22 steps, and it goes in a circle like that. And I was at the top of those steps, and my foot slipped. My knee hit the first step, and I headed down those steps head first. That would not have been good. Well, angels watching on me. It'd probably been fun. But I grabbed on to the supports for the rail. I was literally upside down, my head headed down, and I was hanging like this. And thank God, I work out and I'm strong. And I was able to pull myself back up. I came that close to dying about 2 weeks ago. He delivers me from destruction after destruction after destruction.
Amen.
I didn't mean to tell that. I'm not clumsy. I think the devil pushed me. There's no way to explain how I did that. I mean, it's how in the world? And I've been up and down those steps now for 40-something years. We go there about every year. I don't know. All that matters is God delivered me from my destruction. Okay. Thy good and do us good. Blessed be the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from. Say it. Come on. I do all this work, stand here all this time, and you can't even say one word. Say destruction. Read it with me. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Come on. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The news is this. Most of us would never really know all the things he's delivered us from until we're standing in heaven. We're thinking, oh, life is so hard on me. But that's it. You just don't know what you missed. You just don't know how many things he delivered you out of. Your life could be a whole lot worse. I could be in a coffin right now or in the hospital with every bone in my body broken. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed as the eagle. He provides good things for you to eat. You need to be sure you put them in your mouth. And leave those potato chips alone. Verse 5. Who satisfies thy mouth? Cheetos is okay, but those potato chips, no. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. In other words, he's watching out for you to protect you from ungodly people that wants to hurt you and oppress you. Man, this is so good. I got to move on. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a refuge in the time of trouble. You got big problems. You hear, let him answer his knocking at your heart's door. Get in the prayer closet and pray that thing through until you get peace. Come on. The Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. What's a refuge? It's a place of escape. It's a private place. It's a safe place. Jesus Christ is a safe place. He cares for those who trust in him. The Lord and his true church is a safe place. His true church, where people truly believe in him and truly serve him and believe him and take care of each other. It's a safe place. The Lord and his true church is a safe place. Genesis chapter 36, verse 20. Now, here's a good example. I'd like to throw in one good example from the Bible. But when Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. Verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. God went to prison with Joseph. It doesn't matter what you go through. God is with you. He'll bless you. He'll favor you. And you rise to the top. Can you say amen? As a slave, he rose to the top. As a prisoner, he rose to the top. And when he stayed faithful to God, he promoted him to prime minister of Egypt. You got to stay faithful where you are and trust him where you are. He will never let you down. If we will submit, let me pray I'll remember this tomorrow morning. If I can preach with such great faith on the anointing Monday morning, if I have a problem, oh my God, where's that sermon? And there's some truth in that. You got to memorize these scriptures, and when the devil hits you, quote them. Amen. That's why I have so many of them memorized. If we will submit to God the way Joseph did, it is possible we can be blessed the way Joseph was blessed. Amen. If we will submit to God the way Joseph did, it is possible we can be blessed the way Joseph was. He had the favor of God all over him. No matter where he went, he had favor. Matthew 6:30. If God so clothed, now this is Jesus telling you. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Jesus says, quit worrying about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Just be concerned about obeying me. And being a doer of the word, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, when you go to church, when you meditate upon the word of God, be concerned about those things and God will take care of the clothes and the food. Verse 31, do not worry then. Wonder what he meant when he said do not worry. Would anybody like to take a guess? He means do not worry. Do not worry then, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. God knows what you need, but he requires that you ask. Amen. Well, I don't know why I have to ask. Because you're told to ask. It's called obedience. Amen. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of heaven. Amen. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be, they might be, you just never know. Is that what it says? No. It says, but seek first the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, look how God has blessed me and Dottie. We came here just to build, to let God use us to build this church. We've never been concerned about having anything. And Daddy was content to live in whatever I provided. And God spoke to this millionaire in 2017. I'm almost as old as Stan. 2017. Gave us a house today's praise for close to $1.5 million. After church, I'll let you shake hands with Jed Clampett. That's what I feel like living out there. Jed Clampett. But that's the goodness of, yeah, with a cement pot. There's some older people around here. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things were added to you. We weren't seeking that house. We've been blessed with a lot of stuff we weren't even looking for. Amen. We just got, and I'm not bragging on me. I mean, that's the only way I know to live, just trust God. Amen. I told somebody the other day, if I went to rob a bank, I'd have to pray and ask God to show me how to do it. Jesus actually says, do not worry then, and all these things will be added to you. But that worry thing is important. Amen. So how do you stop it? You get your scripture and meditate on that. Yes. You worried about your health? Say, with his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. And they say, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Amen. Now all things work together for good to those that love God. Amen. Amen. Quote the word of God. Condition. God's kingdom must be first. And then worry's got to go. If you want all these things added to you, the kingdom's got to be first and worry's got to go. 1 Timothy 6:17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Here it is. But on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That's the God I serve. That's the God I serve who richly supplies me with all things to enjoy. And I do not serve him for that reason. I serve him because he died for me and washed away my sins. All I had to do is put my faith in him. But because I serve him, then he adds these things to me. But I'm not going to serve God to get blessed. Well, I don't either, thank you. But you truly serve God with all your heart, seek Him with all your heart, and it's almost impossible not to be blessed. Now, you're going to have hard times. There's going to be people don't like you and curse you and everything else, maybe, but at the same time, He'll take care of you. God is the supplier. This says we are to fix our hope on God because He richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. I don't enjoy swimming, but I enjoy it. That thing has a waterfall, and I enjoy laying out there in the sun, you know, and listen to that waterfall and relax. I enjoy that place because of it gives me a place just to rest, relax when I have a moment. You say, man, I don't like water. But I listen to the waterfall. To enjoy, even in trouble. And, of course, it gives me a place to practice walking on water. Even in troubled, difficult times, we have no reason to worry because He richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply some of your need." But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God supplies all our need. He promised to and He will, but we got to trust Him and believe Him. But we must believe that He is good and doeth good. Our God is good, and everything He does is good. Let's stand.